What's up, everybody? This is the most important movie you're going to watch in 2016. This is Jack Reacher. This is Action Movie Anatomy. We're going to break down the film for you, give you everything you want to know. Me and Andrew Guy are here. Hang out with us. We'll see you in just a second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Action Movie Anatomy.
Boom! What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to Jack Reacher.
I literally almost lost it when you were doing that. I didn't know you were going to do it. I almost burst out laughing. I'm so glad I didn't.
This is Action Movie Anatomy, guys. Welcome to the show. Welcome to episode... I think this is episode 61, I think.
I think it might be 60 or 61, yeah.
I think this is episode 61. And we are doing Jack Reacher today. We do mm-hmm. action movies on the show. We talk about those movies that are generally made after 1981 that adhere to four basic rules. Those rules are rule number one. The hero always plays by their own rules. Jack Reacher, definitely. He is like... He, like, makes a point of letting the world know that he plays by his own rules.
He's the definition of his own rules.
Yeah. He's, like, walking his own rules. Rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest people, beings, things, dinosaurs, what have you, in the room. So Reacher, obviously, is definitely the smartest. And then,
but is Werner Herzog?
Yeah. In the Serbian prison, I ate my fingers off. He's, like, such a cartoonishly ridiculous villain.
But he's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
The Zek.
Well, it's funny because right now on Facebook, there's all those master classes going on at NYU.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm Werner Herzog, and this is your master class. And it's, like, all him teaching and talking about film and all that. And then it's, like, this is my next reference to him.
Yeah. Herzog is, like, it's very funny that he's in this movie because Herzog is, like, he's, like, an actor, but he's also, like, a very, very, very artistic director.
Oh, he's, like, renowned as one of the great directors of this generation.
Yeah, like, but for weird movies.
Yeah, real weird.
Like, his most mainstream movies are, like, Rescue Dawn or Grizzly Man.
Yeah, Grizzly Man was the one, the documentary.
But, like, not, gnarly. Like, big movies that everybody knows about.
No.
But he directed all these old movies with Klaus Kinski. Like, he's just, like, a weird dude. So it's hilarious that he's the villain in Jack Reacher. Random.
Do you like him, though? Do you like his, like, glossy, like, grayed-out eye?
He's, like, part of my entire thesis of this movie.
I had to eat my own eye to get out of the prison.
Yeah. What is... Did I have a knife in the Serbian prison?
He's like, oh, come on, man. Yeah, help me out here.
They always choose the bullet. I don't understand. Anyway, that's rule number two. You probably don't even remember what we're talking about. Rule number three, the movie is driven by a police, military, political, or mercenary figure. When we say political, it means they could work for the man or be the man, so they could be an MTA officer in the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. However,
sure
in...
What? I said they sure could.
They sure could. However, in this film, Reacher, he's like super secret military police.
Yeah, he was the secretest of military police.
Yeah, he's not even a real cop.
And then now he's gone.
Yeah.
He just completely has vanished for years.
He vanished. And then rule number four, there's a minimum of one explosion, which I think there's an explosion in this movie.
Is there an explosion in this movie? There's got to be. I feel like there's got to be an explosion
there
in this movie.
There must be, right? I'm trying to think how it starts. There's like
grenades anywhere.
Yeah, or like an exploding car maybe, or like...
Oh, a car explodes, right? No. That was Shooter. I watched Shooter yesterday, too.
Shooter's sweet.
It's real good.
Yeah, we could do that on the show.
Danny Glover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely could do Shooter.
It is pure evil.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's an explosion, man.
Is there really not an explosion in this movie? That would be weird. We break the rules sometimes, guys, if it's not clear.
In case you haven't found out.
Anyway, guys, let's talk about where we're broadcasting from. This is the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network dedicated to talking movies and all things movie-related. And I'm your host, Ben Bateman. This is Andrew Guy.
What's up, everybody? I'm here today to talk Jack Reacher.
Yeah, Jack Reacher. This is like... Jack Reacher's a bizarre movie. It's like a very random movie.
It is, and that's why I really liked these questions that the audience posted this week, because they kind of go in line with the whole thing behind this movie. Like, was this a good movie or was it not? Why do people want a sequel? You know, it's interesting.
Yeah. So, guys, if you were picking up on what Drew was just throwing at you there, what we're doing now is we're taking audience questions on the Twitter. So, if you are watching this or listening to this and you're like, you know what, I want to get in on that, go find us on Twitter at AMA Podcast. You'll see, you know, within the recent post, whatever the movie we're doing that week is, we announce it a week ahead of time. And what happens is, if you guys tweet in your questions, debate questions, things that we could like really have a discussion. The question we'll be talking about later today, we'll have a couple, one of which is, will Jack Reacher fall victim to the sequel slump of 2016? And
and the other one is this Tom Cruise's most underrated film?
Right. So we will have a discussion about those later. If you guys want to throw questions for next week's film, or we actually are going to be off next week. We don't have a show next week. It's the first time we're ever missing.
Wow.
Missing a
show.
Other
than Christmas.
Yeah, like a normal week because of Comic-Con. We're going to both be at Comic-Con. We won't be able to do a show. But for the week after, if you follow the Twitter at AMA Podcast, you'll be able to see the movie we're doing and submit your questions, which we'll choose the questions and debate them on the show. Aside from that, if you guys want to follow us personally, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media.
And you can find me at Andrew Guy.
And that's that. So let's get into the film. We're going to be talking about Jack Reacher.
Did you like the trailer for this movie?
It tries to make the movie something so different than it is.
Right? That's what I was thinking when I went and watched it, because I had my roommate, I had him watch the trailer last night before watching the movie with me, and he was like, oh, it's Tom Cruise. I love Tom Cruise. You know, this would be interesting. Then I watched the trailer, and he was like, huh.
Yeah.
I wonder what this is. And then we watched the movie. He's like, that was completely different than what I was expecting.
So let's cue the trailer, because it's definitely a weird one. It tries to make the movie, like, really intense and dark and badass. And like,
yeah.
And, like, it's just not that at all.
No. It's funny. This movie's funny.
It's campy.
It's very aware of itself.
Yeah.
And it's very aware of, like, picking on old Tom Cruise.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great.
There's this guy. They, like, show the Cruise ab shot. Cruise is like, yeah, I'm 49. Look at these abs.
Yep.
He's always had weird abs, though. You know,
they
right?
are odd. They're not symmetrical.
He always just had, like, a strangely shaped torso. Always. Zero body fat, but just like a way strange torso.
Real weird.
Yeah. He knows what I did. You can't protect me.
No one can. When does that monologue even happen?
You can't protect me, no one can?
Yeah, who says that?
Well, he says there's this guy. That's the end of the movie.
That's the end, right?
Yeah, you can't protect me, no one can. That's the beginning of the movie, I think.
Okay.
You think I'm a hero? I think.
You think I'm a hero?
Yeah. And then the music is kind of like...
not a hero.
Sounds kind of like Mission Impossible music a little bit. There's like the shot of the chick just like getting up from the bed. Which is just...
who, like, is not even in the movie.
Yeah, it's just the montage shot.
Oh, no.
I have nothing to lose.
One thing I'm realizing about that trailer...
yeah.
Is, I mean, we could be falling victim at the exact same...
remember, you wanted this.
And that's a pretty sweet moment.
Yeah.
Really?
What I'm worried about, what I was saying, is what I'm worried about is with the second trailer, with how awesome it looks.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen with the second movie, because what I'm really thinking, well, we'll get into that when we get into the discussion, but because this trailer makes the movie look a lot more badass than it is, and more intense and serious.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Yeah.
Makes it look like something it really isn't. So, all right, guys, so what we do on this show is we watch the trailer. Now we're going to get into something called thesis statement. So if you're watching or listening for the first time, what this is something where we kind of both have a strong opinion, sort of a bold thought about this movie, what it is, you know. Something big, kind of rooted in hyperbole, the greatest this, the best this. This is what this movie is, and we're going to kind of defend it throughout the episode. So I'm going to jump in with mine.
Okay. Werner Herzog.
Jack Reacher's a cartoon action movie.
It is. It's a complete cartoon.
It's like Jack Reacher may as well be animated with the voice of Tom Cruise.
Right?
Right? That's what it feels like you're watching.
The voice of Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, like he doesn't... Because even the source material, he's supposed to be like a 6'6".
I was just going to say.
Military dude.
So I actually think that him, Tom Cruise playing this role actually helps it out.
Yeah.
Because it's like always like picking on Tom Cruise with like being annoyed and dropping the knife and things like that.
Yeah.
If he was 6'5", 250, it would have been like, it wouldn't have been as funny if The Rock was doing it.
No, definitely not.
It would have been too self-aware.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, and you don't get that many. There's not that many actually guys that can really act who are that size.
Yeah, was it the director or was it the producer that was saying that a lot of the situations you would want 90% size,
right.
or 100% the size and 90% Jack Reacher?
Yeah, right.
Whereas Tom Cruise is 100% Jack Reacher and 90% the size. Not even 90%?
He's 1,000% Cruise, though.
Oh, he is. Yeah. He's so cruisy in this. Like,
this is like Cruise just cruising it up.
One of it was initially my fist pump. It's during this gigantic hero qualifier that he gets.
Yeah.
But I feel like he was like, you know what would be sweet? It's like if
when you guys are introducing me in the movie, I want to be shopping in a high-end retail store, and then I want to drop the bag in a Goodwill thing on the way out.
Yeah.
They were like, you want to do what? Yeah, I want to do that. Okay, Tom, sure. Well, I mean, you're producing it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's the other best thing about this is when you asked the question earlier of, like, why do people want a sequel? I think at this point Tom Cruise is so insulated in his world, like, because he produces his own movies. He's always the star. You rarely have anybody else legitimate in the movie. It's like, you know, best case scenario, you have, like, an Emily Blunt or something, but, like...
Right, that's, like, top of the line. Like, Jack Courtney in this point of his career was, like, low Bs.
Yeah, you never, if that.
If
2012.
That. Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, like... You know, there's no Russell Crowe alongside.
Oh, God, no. He does not do the buddy cop. Yeah. He does not share the screen.
There's no Gosling. It's like none of that shit. It's Tom Cruise, and it's just a Tom Cruise movie. And maybe if it's like a Mission Impossible movie, you can throw in some supporting actors. But like, for the most part, if it's a Tom Cruise movie, he just calls all the shots. He makes the movie.
He does everything. The whole thing is him.
Yeah, it's
so great. That's what I loved about that.
Yeah.
So your thesis statement is that this is a cartoon action movie.
I think the more, if you're looking for something that is really strong, this movie may as well be animated.
Right.
Starring the voice of Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I like that.
I don't think it would make much of a difference in the movie.
It would make very little difference.
Yeah.
For me, and it's weird because we've been doing the show for so long and we've covered Tom Cruise and so many of these other A-listers for so long that Tom Cruise is the only superstar where a franchise... Or a brand does not define him.
Yeah, he defines.
He defines, like, he can do anything. Like, he's been doing Mission Impossible movies for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
But it's never the same thing as, like, when you saw Pierce Brosnan in a movie at the same time he was doing James Bond.
Right.
You're like, oh, that's Bond.
Right.
And even now when you see Daniel Craig, like, I was pretty impressed with him in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know what? He's not James Bond in this because he's playing such a different character.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with, you know, Daniel Radcliffe, all these people that get pigeonholed into something. I mean, look at Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
He was Spock his whole career. Tom Cruise can do anything. He can be in any franchise, any movie. He can make fun of himself. He can be a fat old guy. He can be a singing rocker. He can be in an action hero franchise for 20 years, and you still watch him in Collateral and in all these other things. And you're just it's Tom Cruise.
Somebody was like, you guys are eventually going to run out of Tom Cruise movies to do on the show.
Are you writing down movies?
I was just trying to think how many we've done. I don't think we will. First of all, Hearst, we're not going to run out of Cruise
movies.
We'll
never run out of Cruise movies.
There's like 44 movies or something like that. They're not all action. But
Jerry Maguire will happen on the show if we have to make it happen
eventually.
On the show.
So I think this is correct me if I'm wrong. We've done Mission Impossible 3, 4, 5, Edge of Tomorrow, Jack Reacher, Minority Report, Last Samurai, Top Gun. Is there one more?
We really have done a lot.
Is there one more? I feel like there might be one more.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Because I think we also want it with, like, the next one we would do would be, like, Collateral.
Yeah, Collateral's definitely on the list. We could eventually hit Oblivion if we needed to.
Which I've heard, for some reason, people have been talking about that recently to me.
Yeah, I've heard it's
saying good things.
I watched, like, half of it recently. That was as far as I got into it. And it was okay.
But you love Tom Cruise, and you could only get halfway into it.
It just didn't grab me.
Right?
It just didn't grab me.
Tom Cruise could be literally just doing nothing on the screen. You'd be like, you gotta see this movie.
You need to see this film. Because he doesn't... Those, the earlier action movies, like the ones in the first half of the career, there's Top Gun, but a lot of the older ones, they're not as satisfying.
No.
It's post-2000 Cruise is when you get into the really good action stuff.
Yeah.
So, I think that's what we've done is those eight.
I mean, we might run out of movies, but luckily, Brian, Tom's still making them. He's still a complete badass, and Mission Impossible 6 is in works, so
we go. He's still the full package.
He still is.
What was your thesis, or did you just say it?
Yeah, it's that you know, he's the only superstar where a brand or a franchise cannot tarnish who he is or define him.
Yeah, nothing can.
Nothing can.
He's made of bronze,
silver,
and gold. All right, anyway, guys, that's thesis statement. Let's keep going through the show. Let's get into fist pump moment. This is that moment in the movie when you're watching a movie, something happens. It's not really your favorite moment. It's more just like, it's just like something awesome happens and you look around and you're just kind of like, are you seeing this right now? This is the best moment in this movie. Are you seeing this right now? Like, this is so awesome. Like, you're like, it could be like the music in Terminator 2 gets me, or
it like tickles your, it's like when a car starts. Yeah. That's what it feels like inside. Yeah. You're like, what's going to happen?
This movie's so sweet. This movie is a little tough because it's very self-aware. So I think some of the ones that would otherwise be fist pump moments, they don't resonate quite in the same way.
Right.
There's a number for me. You know, Donica, if you could cue it, we have the fight in this.
This is a pretty sweet fight. And it's interesting because they talk a lot. One thing that was really noted about this film is that they use the music and they use silence very, very well in this film. And I love that about this scene.
Yeah. So There's one particular moment in this fight. It's funny. This is the second time on the show we've shown this fight.
Right.
I think we showed this for Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, we did.
Because we were comparing, like, this.
Like, end fist fights in the rain.
Yeah. Well, like, so I'll point out my fist bump moment when it happens. I think you probably know the one I'm waiting for.
But, probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, there's something about this fight that is sweet because, like, it's not the 90s thing where it's, like, guys, it's like this. Like, he hits Cruz, and then he's, like, block, hit.
Yeah.
And like, he hits Cruz, and Cruz kind of stumbles to the side like that. The stumble fall down move.
Then, yeah. Like, it's not fun anymore to see an indestructible hero.
Yeah, he, like, has to kind of get up, but he's, like, really taking a hit.
You want to see him collect themselves and, like...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the fighting in this movie is sweet.
Yeah, his elbow. Yeah. I can't remember what it's called, but yeah.
This is the kind of fight that, like our buddy Josh, who's just, like, so into shit like this.
Right. But they just, like, loves it.
They just love stuff like this, yeah.
Oh, the elbows, bro. Elbows to the back of the knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that all you can hear is the rain and the hits landing.
Cruz disarms him. Military police, you can't have that knife, bro.
You can't, bro.
This is my fist pump moment right here. Not this one. There it is. Here it is, right here. Yeah!
The knee. Yeah.
Yeah, the flying knee to the face is I think that may be my fist pump moment in this movie.
I actually think this is my fist pump.
Just the fight?
Just the hand.
Yeah.
When you can hear him breaking his hand from the inside. Actually, you know what? I take that back. Like, this is awesome, but it's right afterwards when the cop is sitting there talking and Tom Cruise is like, you know, no one would have thought to check that parking meter.
Yeah.
Not even me. And then he pops out, boom, boom, double taps, shoots the guy, like, in the head right next to her. Like, I love that. I thought it was so cool. And there was never a moment of when you're like, oh, man, what's going to happen to Rosamund Pike? I hope she doesn't get hurt. It was just like, how's he going to shoot him in the head?
Though, like, who cares? Because, like,
I hate her.
She's so irrelevant in this movie.
She's so irrelevant, and I can't get on board with Rosamund Pike.
Yeah.
I can't.
I don't think she does a bad job. I think she's fine. I think she's attractive. She looks the part. She looks the correct age. Yeah. She's, like, it all adds up. But, like, there's just nothing about her that's, like...
It's like getting a C on a report card. You're passing, it fills all the places that it needs to, but there's nothing exciting or extra about it.
Yeah, there's also this very strange quality you'll notice, I think, that Tom Cruise is remarkably asexual. So, there's never any sexual tension between him and a female co-star.
I hope that no one ever describes me as remarkably asexual.
Well, it's like, it's not that you don't believe that he could, like, get the girl.
You never, imagine trying to be a woman on screen with him trying to seduce Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it's just like, even the scenes where he's, like, supposed to be seducing her, it's like, I understand how this is written, I understand, like, this is the formula, like, you need guys to do this, but, like, there's just this part of me that's just like, I just don't believe it. I never feel like there's a sex scene coming. That seems weird to me.
I feel like if you and I wanted to seduce Tom Cruise, which we would want to do if we were given the opportunity, we would probably just wear our costumes from the Tom Cruise party you had.
Yeah.
And just be him to him.
Yeah, right.
And I think that would be the most attractive thing you could do.
Maybe so. Yeah, maybe so. I got invited to the Celebrity Center by someone yesterday I met. They were like, you should come have lunch with us. And I was, like, being friendly, and I just was like, I wanted to be like, do you think Tom Cruise will be there? Or, like,
does he hang out at the Celebrity Center?
Because if he's there, I mean...
I'll definitely go have lunch with you.
Yeah, that was a little weird. But anyway, I think that... So your fist bump moment is the double tap.
I think it's the double tap because, I didn't remember exactly how it went down when I was watching it last night. And, when he comes out and he breaks it all down for him.
Right.
And I love that the only reason he knew he was in on it...
Yeah.
Was because... Jack Reacher wouldn't have thought of something.
Of course, because Jack Reacher's a friggin' genius.
He thinks of everything.
I think the other fist pump that, like, I think it just has to be the fist pump is the street fight.
Between the guys?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
So, I think that Cruz's chemistry with that girl Sandy and, like, the humor between the two of them is great. I actually think, like, his lines are just very funny.
Oh, they're very... I had a couple, like, favorite lines in there.
Yeah.
When he's like, Hooker would get the joke.
Yeah.
I love that line.
Or she's like... what she say is like,
I don't mind a little blood.
Yeah, and he's like, it's good. It means you're still getting your period.
Yeah,
like
it means you're not pregnant.
Yeah, something like that. Like, the lines are fucking great.
They're great. And you know my roommate, Mike.
Yeah.
Those are, like, he lost it on all those lines when he's just being, like, an unabrasive asshole. Because he's like, that sounds like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, and then in the street, too, when he just kicks the shit. I also love that when he takes down Jeb, it's just in the most, like, it's in the most just, like, dodge him, hit him in the stomach, and then just hit him in the nuts.
And it's like he's doing something else the whole time because he's elbow fighting. It's like he's never even looking at him. Yeah, and then he hits him in the nuts. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Were you kind of surprised when they killed her?
A little bit.
The first time?
Yeah, a little bit. Also, like, it's like brutal because she gets hit in the face first.
Like, hard.
Yeah. Like, you don't really see, like, women get socked in the face in movies that often.
No. It's usually, like, a slap or, like a choke or a shot or something.
Or, just a silenced headshot.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, like, it's not, like, a sock in the face and then strangle.
Or like, the headlock strangle.
Yeah.
From behind.
Yeah.
But the, like, hit in the face to knock out and then strangle is, like, a particular...
It was pretty intense.
Yeah, it's kind of intense.
What did she ever do to you guys?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's weird.
They don't even show Jeb die.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, so that's going to be fist pump moment. Guys, let's move on to... let's get into star profiles. So, there's this guy named Tom Cruise.
This guy named Tom.
But this is also... We've talked about this. If you've watched the show before, you kind of know where we stand on this. We'll rehash a little bit. This is a very interesting period of his career. Mm-hmm. Because the three films that we have leading up to this are Night and Day, 2010, which is a pretty bad movie.
Right.
It's got some funny lines.
My sisters love it.
It's weird. I saw it in theaters. It was just okay. Ghost Protocol, the fourth Mission Impossible, which was a big hit and was largely responsible for, I think, like sort of like the rebirth of the Tom Cruise brand.
Absolutely.
That's like the big one that made a lot of money.
Wait, was she in this movie?
Who?
Paul Patton. Is she the one that says, Jack Reacher's here to see you? Is that her? No?
No.
Okay, it looked like her. I wasn't sure. I was like, is she in this? It's like, it seems like such a small role. Okay, anyway.
I know how these things go, officer. What's his name? What's Denzel play? What's his?
Oh God! Yeah, I watched that scene again the other day.
Doug,
Carlin.
Yeah,
Officer Carlin.
You need to care about her. That movie's sweet. Deja Vu's sweet.
It's good.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Yeah, movie's good. Who's losing all credibility?
Yeah, right.
And then his next movie after Ghost Protocol was Rock of Ages, where he plays Stacey Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
Little known fact about me: hair metal is like my all time favorite genre of music. I'm like an encyclopedia, and Tom Cruise is my favorite actor, and I've never seen Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
I just
skipped it. I, for whatever reason, like, it was...
We know why you skipped it.
It, like, looked like a giant
turd. It looks ridiculous. If you're a huge fan of hair metal and he's your favorite, I mean, like, I can't believe you haven't seen it.
There's, like, only a few Cruise movies
I've never seen. If Busey was in it, you'd see it.
If Busey played the Stacey Jacks role? Yeah. There's a small handful of Cruise movies I haven't seen. Like, there's, like, probably a half dozen at least.
Could you name... What are the top three that you haven't seen that you should have? Rock of Ages, which is you shouldn't have, but
yeah, let's see. So they're like Oblivion, Rock of Ages are two of them.
Oh, Oblivion's a big one.
Yeah, because Oblivion's like a big action one, mm-hmm. So I should have seen it. I feel like there's like something in the 80s, in the later part of the 80s, I never saw. Maybe. No, I've seen all those movies actually.
I've seen everything he's done.
Oh, I've never watched Interview with the Vampire the whole way through.
Oh,
I've seen
three good ones.
Yeah, interviews I've seen like Interview like in bits and pieces on television, but I've never like watched the whole thing.
It's been a long time since I've watched that whole thing. It was a good movie, though.
Yeah, I've seen, like, I mean, I've even seen, like, bad ones, like Lions for Lambs and Night and Day. I, like, saw those movies in theaters.
In theaters, yeah.
I've seen old ones, like, I've never seen Taps. I've never watched Taps.
Okay, yeah, I've never seen Taps. Movie. Yep.
But I've, like, All the Right Moves I've seen Losing It. I've seen...
All the Right Moves.
Cocktail? Yeah.
I've seen Cocktail.
Of course you've seen Cocktail.
Yeah, I've seen most of them, but yeah, there's a couple I haven't seen. Anyway, we digress. So
shout out to Donica in the booth. That's Mark Donica up there.
Yeah, oh, thanks, Donica, for coming in for the
early
tape time today. It's funny. It's just like looking at this period of his career, you sort of ask yourself that question of like, what was it? Like, was it just the Mission Impossible franchise? Was people forgetting? Like,
I think it was... I mean, you got to remember, audiences are fickle in both ways. They'll hate you, and then they'll love you, and they'll flip-flop. And I mean, look at Kobe. Look at so many other people that we've seen this happen to. I think, and you look at the movies that he's doing here, which is Night and Day, MI4, and Rock of Ages. So you've got, like, a rom-com action.
Yeah.
You've got Rock of Ages, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
You know? And then MI4, part of his franchise, like, huge, massive-budget action movie. He's back to the Tom Cruise that we all... missed.
Because I believe the movie after Rock of Ages is Oblivion, and then after that is Edge of Tomorrow.
Yep.
So Oblivion was kind of another flop. So it was this weird phase, because it goes Jack Reacher, Oblivion. So people were still just kind of like, he's just trying to make the movies that he used to make, but it's not working.
I do remember that when it was Jack Reacher, Oblivion, and Edge of Tomorrow. I was kind of like, come on, man. Don't do this again. Yeah. Don't do this to yourself. But then Edge was awesome.
It was so good.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Which, thank God it was.
Yeah, thank God it was. So,
which was also written by our good friend, Christopher McQuarrie, who wrote and directed this movie.
Yep. So Rosamund Pike, she is the girl in Doom, right? Donica, that is her, isn't it?
Yeah, it's her.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that was her.
young Rosamund Pike, who looks remarkably similar and almost the exact same age. She's kind of ageless in that way.
Yeah, she did. She looked the exact same in Die Another Day, yeah. I think, is the one she's in.
She was cast specifically in Gone Girl because David Fincher said he liked her ability to play multiple ages. That was like
one. Which is just one age.
Yeah, she has a strong range. I think that's like Gone Girl's like 2014 probably.
It's right after these movies. So she did Wrath of the Titans in 2012, The Big Year in 2011, and Johnny English Reborn in 2011 as well. I don't know how to say this without sounding like a dick, because I don't want to sound like an asshole, because if I was her, I would be ecstatic about my career. It's an amazing career. Absolutely. It appears that she will never break into that next tier of female leading women.
I believe she got the Oscar nod for Gone Girl, correct?
She did.
So, I mean, that's
there's five Academy Award nominees and one winner in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a good cast, but yeah, I don't know what it is about her. I just can't get on board. Same thing with like Liam Hemsworth, except for I've seen her act a good amount.
Yeah. I mean, look, it happens sometimes. It's a combination of a couple things. It's a combination of A, the stuff that we often see leading women in Hollywood, they have to be big Oscar movies, or they have to be period pieces, or they have to be action movies. And if they're action movies or something like that, they are usually the part's not as good. So the kind of thing that like somebody like Rosamund Pike might excel in would be some sort of an indie film that, unless it was like a spotlight kind of indie film, we wouldn't see it. So you just don't know. It's like she's good in what she's in. I don't ever have any issue with her.
Yeah, I don't ever have issues with her. I'm just not blown away by her.
She just doesn't stand out.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like, you look at if she would have gotten the role, the opportunity like Rebecca Ferguson got in the new MI5 in her James Bond movie, it'd have been crazy.
Yeah, but then again, also she doesn't have the physicality, I think, to pull that off.
True.
So, you know, there's that's missing. But let's talk about production.
But at the end of the day, we don't ever buy their sexual attention, right?
Never.
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 Because he's asexual.
Yeah. Because it's funny. It's like funny because it's Tom Cruise, but that's one of the hallmarks of Tom Cruise. Even in Edge of Tomorrow, which is the best Tom Cruise movie.
In a movie where every single person involved wants to marry Emily Blunt.
Yeah, she's the hottest thing in the world. And like, even though their chemistry is some of my favorite, like my favorite scenes.
They have great scenes together. You never think they're going to have sex.
Never.
Never.
And not even a kiss. Nothing.
No. Tom Cruise will only sleep with Nicole Kidman on film.
only and forever. Yeah, weird, right? Is there going to be... Wow, like, what was the last movie Tom Cruise did that there's, like, a scene with him kissing or sleeping with a woman?
So he doesn't ever do that in any of the MI movies, right? With Paula Patton and Rebecca Ferguson.
Paula Patton's not his, but it's what's her name? Michelle Monaghan?
Oh, right, yeah, because he's married.
He must have kissed her in, like, three.
He kisses her.
She's
and
gone
the second one is Zoe Saldana...
But that's way back. I'm just thinking like semi-right.
Yeah, but even then they don't sleep together. They just have their... Yeah.
It's so weird.
I never thought of this. I'm uncomfortable.
I just feel dirty to talk about this.
All right. Let's get into production development here. So this movie was adapted from Lee... I'm so sorry. What is his name? I had it written down here. It's somewhere in here. Lee.
This movie was adapted from... what's his name? He wrote the book One Shot, or Kill Shot. What's it called?
The book's called One Shot, and it's written by Lee something. I will get that for you right now. I'm so sorry about... Oh, Lee Child. I apologize.
Okay.
And yeah, that was one thing we talked about earlier, was that in the books, Jack Reacher is kind of like... an unstoppable force.
Yeah, he's like a huge dude.
6'5", 250. But it's cool, though, because you're right. Tom Cruise completely is an unstoppable force in this movie in his own way, being 5'9".
Is he 5'9"? I think he's 5'6".
Oh, I thought that's what... really? No, he's 5'9", dude. He's not 5'6".
I think he's like really small.
That's really short.
I don't know, though. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. That'll be the first question I ask him if I ever meet him.
Yeah. How tall are you?
How tall are you exactly?
Well, you'll look down at him. Yeah. And then the next one is called, it's based off the book Never Go Back. Now, it's kind of the same thing as you get in the Bourne movies, where it's very loosely based. It's more like he took the character and some situational things, because in the books, it's the same thing where it's like this ex-super military police that just has completely gone rogue and gone off the map, and he just does odd jobs all over the world whenever he wants. So that's kind of where he got the basis for this. and it was going to be Edward Zwick that was going to direct it originally.
Ed Zwick's great. Yeah.
Do you think it would have been better?
Zwick?
Yeah.
I mean, Zwick is good at one kind of movie. He's particularly good at like sort of like big epic period piece dramas.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, this... the thing is, we'll talk about Christopher McQuarrie in just a second because he wrote and directed this movie.
Right.
But this movie, in a lot of ways, is part of my perception of what McQuarrie is capable of, sort of. Like, it shapes a lot of my opinion of him because this is his first movie he's directed since 2000.
Do you think that McQuarrie is another one of those guys that kind of gets the Fuqua treatment?
I mean, I don't think he gets the Fuqua treatment in terms of his directorial ability because the only... Because of Usual Suspects. In a lot of ways, yeah, but I also think that there's, like, the difference between those two is that, like, Training Day is, like, a pretty okay movie. Like, it's, I think if you watch the movie, you're like, there's a great role here, and, like, Ethan Hawke's really good, but, like, all in all, like, it's just not that good. It's just okay. It's not... I don't think anybody looks at that movie and goes, this is one of the 1,000 best movies. I mean, routinely, Usual Suspects gets referenced as, like, one of the 30 or 50 or 80 or 100 best scripts ever.
Right. And so, I think it's because he had this amazing idea.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how many ideas do you really need? You know, look at the Jump to Conclusions map.
Yeah.
Look at the Pet Rock. It's like, you have one good idea, and he's... Because all the rest of the movies... Well, let's just get into Christopher McQuarrie since we're already talking about him.
Yeah.
He's also written... You like that I referenced the Jump to Conclusions map?
I know. He was good.
He's also written Valkyrie, MI5, Edge of Tomorrow, Reacher, MI6. But, yeah, he got the award and all of his fame from Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
So you look at all the other things you wrote. They're good. Edge of Tomorrow is probably the next best thing, I would think.
Edge of Tomorrow is just such a well-written movie. That's like... Edge of Tomorrow is it's such a unique movie in the way that it's written that's I think one of the hallmarks. I also sort of wonder how is that script even put together with all of the cut to stuff.
Yeah, like,
it's really interesting. But I mean, yeah, McQuarrie is a guy who actually knew Bryan Singer growing up. That's like sort of really how he got his moment, sort of his skyrocket to fame moment. He's worked with Singer a number of times. They were friends when they were younger. He was a law enforcement guy.
Oh really?
Yeah. He moved back to, what was it? He applied to be, I think, on the NYPD and got accepted.
Crazy.
And then it fell through or something. But he's worked in law enforcement.
Isn't it crazy to think about all these guys if they would have just went on doing what they're doing? James Cameron was a trucker.
George Miller was a
doctor,
was a surgeon.
And McQuarrie was an NYPD officer. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is interesting stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, I think there's probably a fascination with law enforcement, which would lead to, I think, some of his ability to write such tight scripts. Because McQuarrie, that's like a thing. Like you talk about, like, Aaron Sorkin has like his pacing, his actual dialogue is so specific. I think McQuarrie, the way he likes to pace a story is very specific. It reminds me a bit of Tony Gilroy, except I think McQuarrie likes to be a little bit more like spy-ish.
Yeah.
He likes to have a little more sort of tongue-in-cheek spy stuff, whereas like Gilroy likes to be very like espionage, CIA kind of stuff.
Yeah,
really,
for sure.
Just really tight, you know, very like the stakes should be heavy and dark.
Yeah. It's like Gilroy takes himself a little more seriously and McQuarrie kind of plays into it.
McQuarrie feels like he almost like should have written like Kingsman or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. God, that movie's so good. I love that movie. And this movie, it's kind of that thing that you see now with Tom Cruise. The dude has more money than God knows. You know, like, he can just make all of his own movies, and so he does.
So the fact that there's a sequel coming out for this movie is definitely pretty interesting. I mean, I think we all had the head-scratch moment of, like, why?
You and I definitely did.
Yeah.
Like, I remember together we were, like, sitting there, and we heard it was announced. We were like, what?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm not excited to watch it. Because, like, look, it's Jack Reacher, it's Tom Cruise.
Right.
Just give me more Tom Cruise movies, but, like... I'm also just like, why would you go to the well on this? Like, Edge of Tomorrow makes a lot more sense because even though the movie didn't make that much money, there was such an after the fact fascination with that movie. It blew up. People liked it so much. People reference it and talk about it. It did so well on VOD.
Right.
This movie is like, it was kind of maligned by the audience that wanted it because it's Tom Cruise, not a 6'6" military guy.
Right.
So there's a lot of complaints.
Because it's a lot of people that want this movie. They don't like Tom Cruise, or they don't think they like Tom Cruise.
Yes. But they
just need to be convinced.
But he sold them. I mean, I think the movie made enough money worldwide to justify the sequel, which is probably why it's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, Cruise's system for making movies now is so fast, like, especially a movie like this.
Be so easy for him.
So streamlined.
Yeah.
He just jumps from movie to movie. He's usually making two movies at once, though.
Yeah, I was sitting and reading about them doing all the deals for this movie and when he signed it.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there thinking of, like, what it must be like to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this... $60 million movie starring me, and I'm producing it. And I have to sign here to Tom Cruise. I'm going to be the lead. $20 million paycheck. Like
$20 million.
Just the idea of him. I was like, yeah, he signed on for this, and it's like that's all he's done for 30 years. All he's done is signed on as the lead in his own movie.
Yeah,
not that he was making, but that he was starring in. You know.
Yeah, it's funny. I know this just comes off as just anytime we do one of these episodes, we probably like lose like listeners because we just we've just like harped on Cruise so much, but. I've referenced it before. There's an hour long interview he does with Chris Hardwick, and it was for press on. It was on the Nerdist. It's still available. It's just in the archives, and he just talks a lot about his story of how he got into things and why he makes movies and things like that. And it is sort of fascinating to listen to Tom Cruise talk about making movies because he tells a story where he's like, you know, I was a waiter. I saved up money and I would go see movies. That's what I did. I moved to New York and I wanted to be in movies, and I met Sean Penn and I did Taps, and he was like, I was on set. And he's like, I just wanted to learn. I've always just really been intent on learning something, but I don't know how to do it. So they were really, and he remembers everyone's name. He's like, there was this incredible cinematographer. This is like 1980.
Right.
And he's like, you know, he showed me how this worked. And he was, there's this incredible editor and he showed me how this worked. And he's like, and they were really kind enough to kind of walk me through all the steps of how to make a movie. And it's fascinating if you really think about, like, he will say, and he has said over and over again, I've never made movies to make money. I make the movies I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing is that Tom Cruise just, it's kind of like if you talk to pop songwriters and you'll be like, why do you just write pop songs?
I'm
like,
well, right.
I love writing pop songs. It just so happens they make a lot of money.
Right. They're like, well, but why? There's like nothing to them.
Yeah. And they're just like, that's what I like to write.
That's what I like.
And it just so happens that, you know, it is a successful career. Like, whereas it's like with Cruise, it's like, I mean, maybe he wants to make indie movies sometimes, but I think he likes to make big budget, big stunts, explosive action movies.
Because he gets to do them all.
Yeah.
Imagine what that's like. Like to be in a huge movie and then be like, oh yeah, this scene where he drives this and crashes into this. Yeah. I'm going to get to do all that.
It's just, it's just fun. Like for him.
Yeah.
Is Tom Cruise the biggest movie star of all time?
We've done this before.
We've talked about it before.
I really think so.
I think he is.
I think he is. I think the only other person that would have been contending with him would have been Will Smith back in the day, but he fell off.
Yeah, hard.
And he's not back now. Whereas Tom Cruise fell off and came back, and he's still back to making $500 million movies in the MI franchise.
I'm trying to think going back to like Brando or like...
They were all so different. Like you look at like James Dean would have been if he would have stayed alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Brando would have been if he didn't get fat.
Yeah, I mean, Brando or, like, Paul Newman was, like, one of the biggest ever.
Newman is a good one. And it's funny. Of course, the two of them are in a movie together. It's great.
I'm just trying to think, is there actually anybody in the history of movies that can actually stand up to Tom Cruise? And I don't know that. I don't know if there's actually an answer.
I don't think there is. And it's crazy, like, because we've done this for so long. We've talked about so many people and all the big names, like the Pitt, the Costners, the Goslings, the Hardys, the Schwarzeneggers, the Newmans. None of them have this stretch that he has.
The stretch is outrageous.
It's insane. Yeah. Like, I think Newman is the best argument that you've put up there.
Yeah.
Because you talk of people that are, like, 20 years older than us. They all adore Newman, people our age.
Newman was the guy, like, you know, in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. I mean, he had a really long career. So, but you just think about, anyway, we're rambling. So,
Actually, let's get into this first question then, because you kind of touched on it, and that's, will the new Jack Reacher fall victim of this year's sequel slump? And that was submitted by our good friend Brian Hurst, who is at Hurstacules on Twitter. I'm going to jump in first and say no.
You don't think it will?
I don't think it will. And I think the reason why is the same reason that London Has Fallen was so good.
Yeah.
They know exactly what you want to see.
Yeah.
They know the exact perfect Mike Banning that you wanted.
Right.
So they're gonna hone in that Jack Reacher even more, and Tom Cruise is going to be even more Tom Cruise-y.
Yeah.
You know? Jack Reacher, it's so open. It doesn't matter the storyline. You can do anything. You can make it anything. He's a badass who plays by his own rules. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And the movie's not going to cost, like, the most it'll cost would be like $80 to $100 million.
Right.
He's easily going to triple that.
I think this movie falls victim to the sequel slump.
You do?
I do. Yeah. And the reason is because Jack Reacher's is an excitingly mediocre movie. It is totally mediocre in an awesome way. Like, it's the movie that lived on Netflix for a year, and people, and you queue past it, and people go, oh yeah, I mean, I kind of like that movie.
Right.
But, like, not like that movie's awesome, or like Cruise is great in that.
Right. We need to watch this. It's just like, yeah, that.
Like, because it got so panned at first, people just didn't give a shit at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people want to see Tom Cruise play Jack Reacher. I just don't. I think, I mean, that's just my opinion, but I don't think this movie is going to make very much money. I think this movie might slump in the way that MI5 overperformed.
Right.
People want to see Cruise play Ethan Hunt. I don't think they want, and there's no, like, the marketing campaign behind MI5 was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, all of the crazy, like, falling out of the airplane. And
yeah.
There was just so much press, and it was so much excitement behind that movie. I don't sense any of that with Jack Reacher 2.
And it's tough because Jason Bourne has all of it. Its trailer's coming out right now, so you're competing against a franchise that is loved by millions. I still, for some reason, think that it's going to pull through. I don't know why.
Maybe the international audience, you never know. With those big names like Cruise, I mean, they often do. Let's just finish talking about McQuarrie really quickly.
Okay, yeah.
We talked about sort of the Cruise's producing team and all that. He's worked with Paul Wagner for a long time. And then lastly, he works with Skydance a lot now. So David Ellison, this 33-year-old kid, we've talked about him before. He has a bunch of family money invested in some action movies. Skydance is very successful. This other guy, Don Granger, I thought this was funny. Granger was like a longtime producer whose most relevant credits were Timeline and Snakes on a Plane. He got hired as the VP of Skydance in 2014.
How? With that resume?
I'm sure he just like knew somebody.
Right, right. It's still amazing.
Yeah. But so now that all of his credits right now that are upcoming are Mission Impossible 6, Jack Reacher 2.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's totally in the family now.
He's now landed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So and then as far as McQuarrie goes, the one thing that we forgot to point out was that he wrote Usual Suspects. He worked alongside Singer. He directed The Way of the Gun in 2000.
Right.
Which is like, it's kind of like Ryan Helgeland when he directed The Knight's Tale. And then all those years later, he gets another opportunity. It's like, you know, sometimes writers are okay directors and sometimes they're not. The Way of the Gun has like a cult following.
Yeah.
People like that movie, but it didn't do anything. It's not like referenced as a good movie.
No, but a lot of people know of it.
Yeah. But now, like, imagine he's been brought into the Cruise umbrella. So now he could like, Cruise is like, yeah, you made a great movie. You do this movie for me. Yeah, do this movie for
yeah.
me. Like now it's like, doesn't really matter if he's good because.
No, because now he has all these massive movies on his resume.
Yeah, exactly. He just gets to make Cruise's movies. So anyway, talking about the money that this movie was probably going to make, it only cost 60. It grossed 80 domestic and worldwide brought in 138 for a total of 218.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty good.
It's way better than I thought.
Yeah.
It was the same thing with John Wick, like when we did the number, when we saw that stuff. I was just kind of blown away by these two movies.
Yeah.
And the fact that they did so well. It did open number two at $15 million, but it was to The Hobbit, the first Hobbit. You know, we'd all been waiting for, we'd all been missing Lord of the Rings. So it opened at 15, The Hobbit opened at 36.8. Can't argue with that. You can't compete against that.
I don't know. I don't understand how this movie opened at $15 million domestic and still managed to make 218 worldwide.
I know.
That's crazy.
It's his name.
I guess
it's got to
so.
Be his name.
That's crazy to me.
Like, people love him everywhere else in the world. IMDb gives this a 7.0, which actually feels a little high. I don't know. I watched it last night, and I was like, it's fine.
It's decidedly mediocre. It's mediocre
it's exactly.
in the most awesome way possible.
And then you look at the Rotten Tomatoes scores, and it's got a 62 by all critics and a 38 by top critics.
Yeah.
Like, they just ripped it apart. I didn't even pull reviews because I thought it'd be better for us to kind of talk about it because they were so weird. And then 67% by the audience.
Yeah, I mean, I saw this movie in theaters with my buddy Teddy, and we laughed our asses off at how bad it was.
Yeah.
But then, like, that's exactly what I'm talking about when I'm, like, in reference or in retrospect when I've watched it again. I've, like, liked it a lot more.
Yeah.
I've, like, just enjoyed it.
Do you think it's because you like that Tom Cruise more, or do you think it's just because, like, what is it?
We loved Cruise, so we were excited to watch it. We all went and, like, laughed unintentionally. Like, you know, the scene when he's, like, wringing his shirt. She's like, would you put a shirt on, please?
He's like, this is my shirt.
This is my shirt.
Yeah, it's a great line.
You know, like, that whole stuff. Like, we were laughing at that, but I don't know. It just feels better in memory. But, yeah, I mean, the critics definitely did not like this movie. It was not one that people really wanted to watch particularly.
I mean, they ripped it apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, so we're going to get into our second question of the week, which is from Thomas Guy. Which is at ThomasGuy93 on Twitter. Is Jack Reacher Tom Cruise's most underrated movie of all time?
My answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
My answer is no because I believe Edge of Tomorrow is his most underrated movie of all time.
I think I was... That's... Yeah.
It's either that or MI3. I think those are the two... Ooh. Those are the two strong arguments for the movies that, like... I mean, I guess Edge has gotten a lot of credit. Maybe MI3 is the most underrated because people tend to think that movie's not good.
Right. You know, I'm going to go with... I mean, Edge is definitely there, but they're talking about making a sequel, right?
Yeah.
Jack Reacher's getting a sequel, so it can't be underrated because they're making another one.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's Collateral. People love that movie.
So good.
No one doesn't like Collateral.
Yeah.
No one talks about it.
Yeah.
But when you ask someone if they like Karate, like, oh, is that the one where he's got the salt and peppered hair? He's fucking sweet in that movie. You're like, great. Absolutely. Yeah. Totally. So I think Collateral is his most underrated movie of all time. And I'm sure we could get into the 80s and 90s, like dramas and stuff and all that, but yeah. I don't know him well enough.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's a movie called Jerry Maguire from 1996.
Right.
And I think that movie doesn't get enough credit.
It sure doesn't. You know, actually, Magnolia might be his most underrated role of all time.
No, because he got the Oscar nod for it.
That's true. So it's, yeah, people like us and, yeah, yeah. Moving it. I'm going to go Collateral is his most underrated, and I think Edge is a really good one as well.
Yeah.
So no, Thomas. Yeah. No, sir.
I don't believe it is.
I don't believe it is.
Thank you for submitting the question. We're going to get to favorite line here in just a second. Before we do, you know, yeah, this is a good one. We're going to do a top five right now.
A top five?
Yeah, we're going to do a top five.
Because, I love these top fives.
Yeah, because there's a great, great moment in this movie where there's this question, who is Jack Reacher?
Oh, yeah.
And it's the Jack Reacher hero qualifier. And basically, we talk about hero qualifiers on this movie a lot. I'm going to see if I can find it right now. If you want to explain what a hero qualifier is.
So, on the show, we talk about hero qualifiers a lot. And that is that moment in the movie. And villains have them as well. So what we're going to do right now is the top five hero and villain qualifiers. And that's when you're watching the movie and you get the introduction of who they are. You've been hearing about them. They've talked about them. Like, in this movie, you keep getting reference of Jack Reacher. Who's Jack Reacher? And then, you know, you get Richard Jenkins give this 2-minute speech on who he is and where he's come from and how to find him. And you can't find him. He finds you. That is a hero qualifier. Like, you go back to Rambo's. Rambo, John Jay, born, June 4th, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, four purple hearts. Pilot or helicopter pilot, you know, weapons specialist, bomb expert. Those are the type of things that we're talking about here. So we're going to do five. And the reason that I say villain is because I think there's been some pretty sweet villain hero villain qualifiers out there too, right?
Tons. I mean, that, like, so yeah, I mean, the qualifier in this one's sweet. They often involve like a Congressional Medal of Honor or Purple Heart. Of course, like
obscene military regalia.
Some like number of confirmed kills or something. So some of them will read like a verbatim, but Drew and I are both going to just kind of bounce our ideas back and forth off of each other. Do you want to start with your first one?
Yeah, I'll start with my first one, and that's going to be John Wick.
Okay, so how does Wicks go? I can't even remember this one.
So the first thing is he wants to know why he struck his son.
Yeah.
The main mob boss wants to know why he struck his son. Yeah. And Jacques Lozano is just like, sir, he stole John Wick's car.
Yeah.
And he killed his dog. And the guy's just like, oh. And then he goes and talks to his son. He's just like, you're dead. He's like, yeah, please don't tell stories of the boogeyman.
No, the Baba Yaga.
The Baba Yaga. He's like, the boogeyman? He's like, no, John Wick is the man you call to kill the boogeyman.
Oh.
And I remember that. I was just like, oh, Jesus. Yeah. John Wick. And then, you know, after seeing the opening scene where he kills everybody, so on board.
Yeah.
That's Wick. That's my first one.
Yeah, Wick's so sweet. All right, I'm going to go with Man on Fire. And
okay.
It's when Christopher Walken's sitting there explaining Creasy to someone.
I don't
I don't remember the line exactly, but it's something to the effect of just like, Creasy's an artist.
Yes!
And his art is death.
His art is death.
He's about to paint his masterpiece.
Yes.
And you're like, oh my God, Creasy's an artist of death?
And he's about to paint his oh my God, I totally forgot that.
Drop the mic.
That is so good.
Yeah, it's a good one.
You're going to have to help me with this one, because I know you love it so much. It's from Air Force One.
Okay, yeah.
And it's when they're up there and they're all just like, what are we going to do? We're screwed. Who's going to be the next president?
Yeah.
He's like, now, damn it, don't forget.
It's one of these dudes.
Talking heads in suits.
Yeah, the talking heads with like medals on their jackets and shit. It's the one guy, and he's like, let's not forget. The president flew more helicopter missions than my command in Vietnam than any other soldier. Believe me. He knows how to fight.
Yeah, he's a purple heart winner. Yeah. You're like, okay, all right.
Yeah, Harrison Ford's got this. All right. I'll go with one of our favorites because I have it written down here.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Yes.
And it's
I butchered it. I was trying to reference it, but okay, so what is it?
I think it's like Murdoch or whoever the like angry old white general who's talking to him is. And he's like, Rambo, John Jay, born 7-6-47 in Bowie, Arizona, Indian German descent. That's a hell of a combination. Joined the Army 8-6-64, accepted Special Forces specialization. Light weapon, medic, helicopter, and language qualified. 59 confirmed kills. 2 silver stars, 4 bronze, 4 purple hearts, Distinguished Service Cross, and the Medal of Honor. You got around, didn't you? Incredible.
I love when he, like,
he makes a note on his ethnicity yeah. or his heritage. Yeah. It's just so good.
Good combo.
That's a hell of a combination.
that's a good one. That's one of the best ones
of
ever.
All time, yeah.
My next one is going to be Agent Smith.
Okay.
And this is when Morpheus is describing to Neo. And I had to pull it up here. He goes, Neo, you have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be. Those who have stood their ground against agents, everyone who has fought an agent has died. Everyone. Single person who has ever tried, the first thing you do when you see an agent is run.
You run.
And it was, and then you see him fight him later on. Oh my God. But I just remember that when he says that, and then in the movie, when you go to it and you see that he's not going to run, he's like, what is he doing?
He's beginning to believe.
You're just like, yes. Yeah, that's my, okay. Fist pump. Sweet. All right. We got two more each, man. What do you got?
I was trying to find the specific Hummel one, but
Really? Because Hummel's on mine too.
Okay. I'll save it. All right, so I'll go with my next one here. I'm gonna go with Point Break.
Yes.
It's like there's this great scene when Tyler's been training Utah all day, and they're like standing on the beach, and all of a sudden the music gets kind of eerie. And you see in slow mo Swayze like riding a wave. It's the first time you see Swayze.
Yeah, it's a huge wave,
he's
right?
Like, oh! And you're like, oh, who's that dude? And Cruz and Utah looks at him, and he's just kind of. She looks at me. She's like, that's Bodie. They call him the Bodhisattva. The guy's even crazier than you are, Johnny. You're like, oh my God, who is this guy?
Crazy. I love that they call him the Bodhisattva. I was like, I remember watching that with you. I was like, what did she just say? The
guy's even crazier than you are, Johnny.
Which is crazy. Which is real crazy.
Yeah.
Since we both have General Hummel, we'll save that as our last one. My fourth one has got to be, my name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Okay, yeah.
Commander of the Armies of the North, General of the Felix Legions. Like, this dude has a better resume than anyone else than ever fought.
Yeah.
I don't need to say that. I can't say the speech because it'll just ruin it. It's so good. That is my number one hero qualifier, even though we haven't done General Hummel yet.
Yeah, Hummel. I mean, Hummel's amazing. I'm going to go. I'll go with Mike Banning.
Yeah. Oh, God. From Miss Bassett?
Yeah. From Olympus Has Fallen, when they're in the room and she's like, wait a minute. How do you know if we can trust this guy? She's like, are you kidding me? This is Mike Banning. He's Special Forces, Ranger Battalion. This guy will move mountains or die trying. I know him.
You're like, oh, I know. You're like, yeah. Oh, well, she knows him.
She knows him. He can move mountains. For Special Forces, Ranger Battalion. I mean, I'm into that.
Anyone that can move a mountain.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are it. And then the General Hummel one, which I can't remember exactly.
I'm sure to find the exact line, but it's basically just like, he's like, Three tours in Vietnam, two in blah, blah, blah. Yeah. He's got the blah, 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 and the Congressional Medal of Jesus. Who is this? Oh, here it is.
Oh, you got it?
Three tours in Vietnam, Panama, Grenada, Desert Storm, three Purple Hearts, two Silver Stars, and the Congressional Medal of Jesus. This man is a hero.
Hero?
Well, I think legend might be a better description, Mr. Sinclair.
That guy is the best. Al? Like, if I could always have him talking shit to people, it would be him.
Yeah. I like when he goes, Frank, it's Al Kramer. How you doing, Al? I got a lot of very worried people here, Frank. Like, these guys know each other.
They were in the military.
Yeah.
Respectable.
Amazing.
So Sinclair. Okay, so those are our five, which leaves us with just the categories, right?
Yeah, there's three action movie categories. You've got...
Do you guys not have any favorite lines?
Oh, no, we have favorite lines. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Donica.
Thank you, Donica. You want to jump with your favorite line first?
Yes, I will. And it's funny because we said like all of them in the show today, and they were, I don't mind seeing a little blood.
Yeah,
it means you're not pregnant, right?
Yeah.
And then the other one's the Hooker would have got that joke when he's all like defeated.
Yeah.
But I really do love the there's a Jack Reacher here to see you.
Yeah,
because it's also kind of a fist pump.
Yeah,
because you haven't seen Tom Cruise yet, and they had this huge long thing. And
Cruise entries are like the best. You know that there's a podcast called Denzel Washington is the Best Actor in the World, period, ever.
And really?
They just talk about Denzel Washington movies. We should. Well, I don't know why we haven't just started the Tom Cruise podcast.
We should, and we should also get those guys on our show.
Yeah,
is that not this podcast?
Yeah, that's what this is. Yeah. We got to get those guys on for Unstoppable. It's the last one.
It's the last one.
Yeah.
It's the last Tony Scott gem. Need to.
Really quick though, the best thing about that entrance is it was literally after you don't find him.
He finds you.
Sir, there's a Jack Reacher here to see. Like instantly,
it was beautiful. And my roommate leans over to me and goes, oh. So that's what kind of movie this is. I was like, yes.
Yeah, exactly. The qualifier. I think my favorite line, I texted this to you randomly because it's like such the most absurd.
You did! I was like, what the fuck, man? I thought you were mad.
Because he's like, I also think this is really just a funny moment when he's standing at the payphone and he hangs up aggressively. Then he like puts another quarter in, then he calls back and like hangs up aggressively again.
And then Jack Courtney's like, damn it.
Yeah. And then he calls back a third time. And he's like, I intend to beat you to death and drink your blood from a boot. You're like, what the fuck kind of line is that? Cruz says that.
It's like they're in a relationship and they're angry with each other. They keep hanging up and calling each other back.
I intend to beat you to death and drink your blood from a boot. It's a good line.
There's a couple of those moments in the movie where it's just making fun. It's just funny. Yeah. And that's one of them. And then him running and hiding behind the rocks and dropping the knife and all that.
Yeah.
I love that.
I don't know if that's, I don't know who wrote that line. Maybe it was McQuarrie. Maybe Cruz was just like, I'm going to make this up right now.
Say this. Yeah.
I'm gonna say this line. So I think that's probably my favorite line in the movie. But let's talk three action movie categories. This is an interesting one. So there's three action movie categories. There's totally ridiculous, totally legitimate, and ridiculously legitimate. Totally ridiculous movies are like Face Off, Con Air. They kind of just fall off a cliff, making you laugh. Totally ridiculous movies. Those are totally ridiculous. Totally legitimate movies are like The Fugitive or Terminator 2, held together really well, dramatically really well paced, great written.
Well acted, yeah.
Yeah, they don't really make you laugh unintentionally. Then you have the middle category, which is ridiculously legitimate. These are movies like Predator, Point Break, Speed.
The Rock.
Yeah. They're kind of like what we aspire to on the show. And I think for me, for my money, this is ridiculously legitimate because it might be totally ridiculous, but I think it's intending to make you laugh a lot of the time.
Yeah, and I have to agree. Even though it is intending to make you laugh and it's very self-aware, you're still never just like, oh, come on,
right?
You know, which is surprising because you feel like this would be the because even in John Wick, you're watching, you're just like, Jesus, there's no way.
Yeah, right.
In this movie, there's very few moments like that. I mean, you know, you got to stretch your beliefs a little bit, but there's never moments where you're completely taken out of it due to the comedy or the lack of realism. So I agree. I think it's legitimately ridiculous. Ridiculous, legit.
Yeah, it's like, it's on the edge. It's almost totally ridiculous for me.
It's so close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is a ridiculous movie, but I think it tries to be, so I don't think it loses me. But, that pretty much does it, guys. So we don't have a movie next week.
Yeah, we're going to be at Comic-Con, so if you guys are going to be in San Diego at Comic-Con, please come say hi to Ben and I. We'll be all around. We'll be wearing our press badges. We'll be doing shooting footage for Popcorn Talk. But we would love to see any of our fans that are going to be there.
Yeah, anybody who's going to be there. We have some upcoming collaborations. Maybe we'll reach out to the 6 Degrees girls and see if they want to come on to Cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
We've been meaning to do that for a while.
Yeah, Miss Movies over there who had us on for her show. We should do that. They were dying. They were dying to do Cliffhanger.
Yeah, so we'll sort of see what we can come up with there. But we have some good things brewing, guys. We have some cool writers, directors. I think we have the writer-director of Gamer and Crank maybe coming in at some point.
Nothing cooler than that.
So we'll see what we can figure out there. But in the meantime, guys, if you do want to find us, be sure to tune in. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media.
You can find me at Andrew Guy on Twitter.
And you can find the podcast at AMA Podcast. Follow along there and let us know your thoughts. Follow along there also. You can know the movie we're doing next time. Thanks for tuning in, even though it was an early tape time, guys. And we will see you next time.
Or at Comic-Con. Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.